X-ray, X-ray, read all about it. The Multipropio has arrived. Get it while it's hot on Crystal's Vincent Anywhere, episode 87.
Right now!
Crystal's Vincent Anywhere. Episode 87. And now, here's the snarkiest of huge fans of the Motupropio, Brian Michael Page.
Hello and welcome, Ego Sum Brianis Mick Aeli's Pagina. We are in the fourth week of Ordinary Time 2007, and we are fresh off the heels of Motumania. Anyone catch that first video cast last week, by the way? If you haven't, go over to cvtv.crystalsvincit.net. cvtv.crystalsvincit.net. It's our new video cast, Crystals Vincit TV. That's why you didn't get the conventional audio podcast last week. We put up our first official Crystals Vincit TV webcast. Again, you can catch it at cvtv.crystalsvincit.net. And for anyone who subscribes to the audio podcast, Crystals Vincit Anywhere, that's the one you're listening to right now, via outlets like iTunes and such, where the feed is actually existent, the video cast, at least for now, is on the same feed. So each week, check very carefully. You could get the conventional audio podcast, Crystals Vincit Anywhere, or you could get the video cast, Crystals Vincit TV, or for short, CVTV. Anyways, that first video cast covered two topics. One, the music survey sent to parishes who subscribe to Today's Missal and the Music Issue by Oregon Catholic Press, OCP. And a taste of that Motumania hype. Well, now the Motumania is out, it's made public, and will take effect on September 14th, the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Today we're going to discuss the basics of the Motupropio in question, as well as the hymn that we will chant to celebrate the Motupropio's arrival. But first, hear them jungle screechers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And them jungle screechers took a new course of intro here. But anyways, let's take a look at this week's feast, the 14th week of Ordinary Time. Can you believe it, man? Anyways, Monday, optional memorial of St. Augustine Zhaorong and his companions. Tuesday, Feria. Wednesday, mandatory memorial, St. Benedict. Thursday, Feria. Friday, optional memorial, St. Henry. Saturday, two optional memorials, Blessed Kateri Tekakwitha, and also the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. And finally, Sunday, 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Don't forget to check out the New Advent website, www.newadvent.org, for great stories on these and other great saints.
Crystal's Vincit semi-live, out in the woods.
Hey, what are you doing? Put that chainsaw down!
Hello again from Casimir Pulaski Memorial State Park, here in beautiful West Gloucester, Rhode Island. I'm kind of resting up after a volleyball game where this 8-year-old kid put on a serving clinic, and a home run derby where my almost 10-year-old daughter put on a fielding clinic. Speaking of my daughter, we'll have a Crystal's Vincit sports segment in a little bit. In the meantime, let's take a look at the music we've done the last couple of weekends. We have the 13th and 14th Sundays of Ordinary Time right here. Our introits for the 13th Sunday, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, that's the old 100th. And why is that called the Old 100th? Because the text itself, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, came from Psalm 100. And for the 14th Sunday, you hear a little bit of this. I think just about every Catholic knows that refrain at this point. It comes from To Jesus Christ, Our Sovereign King, The text is from Martin Hellreigel, Monsignor Martin Hellreigel. The tune, Ich glaub an Gott. The Glory, of course, from Missa De Angelis. The Psalms of the Week, both of them chanted the Psalm tone 8G. The one for the 13th Sunday, You Are My Inheritance, O Lord, Psalm 116. And for the 14th Sunday, Let All the Earth Cry Out to God with Joy, with Psalm 66. The Alleluia was the mode 6 setting.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
With the verses to tone 6F. Now, during the offertory for the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time, O God Beyond All Praising, that's the one that's set to Thaxted by Gustav Holst. And for the 14th Sunday, Lord, You Give the Great Commission, set to the tune Abbot's Lee. The Sanctus and Agnus for both Sundays were from People's Mass by Jan Vermul. Also for both Sundays, Christ Has Died and Amen, the Danish setting, the Lord's Prayer, the chant in English. Now, here's our communion for the 13th Sunday.
Believe. with the Trinity in unity.
There you go. Lord, who at thy first Eucharist? Text by William Turton. Tune by William Monk. Unde et Memores. For the 14th Sunday, the communion was Taste and See by James Moore. And yes, when done right, Taste and See is actually one of those contemporary hymns that actually sounds pretty decent. Now, here's our recessional for the 13th Sunday. Familiar favorite. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Joachim Neander, translated by Catherine Winkworth. The tune itself dates back to around 1663. And now the closing hymn for the 14th Sunday was the same as the opening hymn for the 13th Sunday, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And before we close this little segment, here is a version that we did back in May with the choir.
Come, he
one of my favorite choral treasures, the Old 100th Psalm Tune, as arranged by Ralph Vaughan Williams, written especially for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in England 54 years ago. Well, let's get out of the wood and head off to our sports desk, shall we? Crystal's Vinci presents Crystal's Vinci Sports. And here are your snarky sportscasters, Brian and Seamus. Greetings, sports fans, and welcome to the Crystal's Vinci Sports Desk. Today we have coverage of, yes, girls softball. Yeah, seriously. My daughter Brittany made the all-star team this year, so that gives me parental bragging rights, you see. So far, Britt's seen two tournaments, and she'll see a third and final tournament coming this weekend. All the tournaments are double elimination. So, here's what the scoreboard looks like for the previous two tournaments. Seamus?
Well, the first tournament took place June 29th, June 30th, and July 1st in Smithfield, Rhode Island. Brittany's team, the Darlington girls, put on a clinic on that 29th, beating out North Kingstown 13-1, and then annihilating the host team, Smithfield, 28-14. Wait, that's a football score, right? No? Softball?
Yeah, I said the same thing at first. Yeah, 4 touchdowns to 2, but no, it's softball.
Oh, okay. Well, the next day, Darlington took on two different Cranston teams. We beat out the Cranston B team 6-3, finally a normal score. However, they faced Cranston A and smoked 12-0. I mean, those Cranston A girls were huge.
Yeah, and unfortunately, so are their egos.
Oh, I know. Anywho, that put our girls in the loser's bracket, and then we played the Coventry Red team, getting edged out by a score of 4-3. The second tournament fell just this past weekend, July 5 and 6 for us, in Coventry, much further drive than Smithfield. Well, we played one game on Friday the 5th, beating out the Coventry Blue team 17-7. And that game was delayed an hour by rain.
I gotta tell you something. My daughter put on a hitting clinic that night. She found a hole to hit in just about every at-bat. This girl was 4-for-5 with at least 8 RBIs, possibly 10. That all depends on whose scorebook you're reading from.
And last Saturday, however, was a bit disastrous. First of all, the first game for Darlington was supposed to be at 11:30 a.m. However, little did anyone know that until they got there, they didn't know the brackets were changed. And the 11:30 game was moved to 1 p.m. Worse, Darlington's girls had to wait for a noon game to finish that went 11 innings. Therefore, that game didn't start till about 2:20. And it was that pesky Cranston A team that smoked us again. This time, 23-0. We then followed that with a loss to St. Gregory's, another team whose girls looked older than their age bracket, by a score of 10-2.
Well, I have to tell you, my daughter has a lot to be proud of. She made the All-Star team. I'm proud of her. My wife's proud of her. We're all proud of her. And that All-Star team is playing 500 ball with just one tourney to go. We'll have more coverage on Crystal's Vinci at the blog as this tourney gets going. Like I mentioned earlier, the great news, of course, is that the motu proprio titled Summorum Pontificum has arrived. With this apostolic letter, which also functions as an executive order, from Pope Benedict XVI, the traditional Latin Mass, according to the 1962 Roman Missal, can be used without having to obtain permission whatsoever from your local bishop. It's not saying you have to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass, but if your parish or community wants to celebrate it, go for it. You no longer have to beg at the chancery. Now, like I explained last week on CVTV, back in 1984, Pope John Paul II gave an indult, asking bishops to give permission for use of the 1962 Roman Missal for those who desire it. He later issued a motu proprio of his own in 1988, entitled Ecclesia Dei, in support of that same indult. Now, here are the articles of that decree by Pope Benedict in the motu proprio itself here. And, of course, the last paragraph before it, all right. Well, let's read the last couple of paragraphs here just before the articles. Thus the Roman pontiffs had acted so that this liturgical edifice, so to speak, might once again appear splendid in its dignity and harmony. However, in some regions, not a small number of the faithful have been and remain attached with great love and affection to the previous liturgical forms which had profoundly imbued their culture and spirit. That the Supreme Pontiff John Paul II, prompted by pastoral concern for these faithful, in 1984 by means of a special indult, Quatuor ab hinc annos, drawn up by the Congregation for Divine Worship, granted to the faculty to use the Roman Missal published by John the 23rd in 1962, while in 1988, John Paul II, once again by means of his motu proprio Ecclesia Dei, exhorted the bishops to make wide and generous use of this faculty in favor of all the faithful requesting it. Having pondered at length the pressing requests of these faithful to our predecessor John Paul II, and having also heard the fathers of the Consistory of Cardinals held on March 23, 2006, having pondered all things, invoked the Holy Spirit, and placed our confidence in the help of God, by this present apostolic letter, we decree the following. And here's where the articles come in here. All right, Article 1. The Roman Missal, promulgated by Paul VI, is to be regarded as the ordinary expression of the law of prayer, lex orandi, of the Catholic Church of the Latin Rite, while the Roman Missal, promulgated by St. Pius V, and published again by Blessed Pope John the 23rd, as the extraordinary expression of the law of prayer, lex orandi, and on account of its venerable and ancient use, let it enjoy due honor. These two expressions of the law of prayer of the Church in no way lead to a division in the law of prayer of the Church, for they are two uses of the one Roman rite. Hence, it is licit to celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass in accordance with the typical edition of the Roman Missal promulgated by Blessed John the 23rd in 1962, and never abrogated as the extraordinary form of the liturgy of the Church. The conditions laid down by previous documents, Quatuor ab hinc annos and Ecclesiae Dei, for use of this missal, are replaced by what follows. Article 2. In masses celebrated without the people, any priest of the Latin Rite, whether secular or religious, can use the Roman Missal published by Blessed John the 23rd in 1962, or the Roman Missal promulgated by the Supreme Pontiff Pope Paul VI in 1970, on any day except in the sacred triduum. For celebration in accordance with one or the other missal, a priest does not require any permission, neither from the Apostolic See, nor his own ordinary. Article 3. If communities or institute of consecrated life or societies of apostolic life of either pontifical or diocesan rite desire to have celebration of Holy Mass in accordance with the edition of the Roman Missal promulgated in 1962, in the conventual or community celebration in their own oratories, this is allowed. If an individual community or the entire institute or society wants to have such celebrations, often or habitually or permanently, the matter is to be decided by the major superiors according to the norm of law and their particular laws and statutes. In other words, like say a given order wants to have a Tridentine Mass, of course they won't have to go through the ordinary, basically just the superiors of that particular order or society. Article 4. With due observance of law, even Christ's faithful, who spontaneously requested, may be admitted to celebrations of Holy Mass mentioned in Article 2 above.
So basically, yeah, you can have the traditional Latin Mass with the people. Article 5, this one comes out in 5 parts, okay? Article 5, paragraph 1. In parishes where a group of faithful attached to the previous liturgical tradition exists stably, let the pastor willingly accede to the request for the celebration of the Holy Mass according to the rite of the Roman Missal published in 1962. Let him see to it that the good of these faithful be harmoniously reconciled with ordinary pastoral care of the parish under the governance of the bishop according to Canon 392, avoiding discord and fostering the unity of the whole church. Paragraph 2. Celebration according to the Missal of Blessed John the 23rd can take place on weekdays, while on Sundays and on feast days there may be one such celebration. Paragraph 3. Let the pastor permit celebrations in this extraordinary form for faithful or priests who request it, even in particular circumstances such as weddings, funerals, or occasional celebrations, for example, pilgrimages. Paragraph 4. Priests using the Missal of Blessed John the 23rd must be worthy and not impeded by law. And finally, paragraph 5 of Article 5. In churches which are neither parochial nor conventual, it is the rector of the church who grants the above mentioned permission. So now, Article 6. In masses celebrated with the people according to the Missal of Blessed John the 23rd, the readings can be proclaimed even in the vernacular, using editions that have received the recognitio of the Apostolic See. I can remember from my experience working with the Tridentine Mass, what was often customary, okay, was having the Epistle and Gospel read or chanted in Latin. And then just before the homily, these would be reread in English. Article 7. Where some group of lay faithful mentioned in Article 5, paragraph 1 does not obtain what it requests from the pastor, it should inform the diocesan bishop of the fact. The bishop is earnestly requested to grant their desire. If he cannot provide for this kind of celebration, let the matter be referred to the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei. A bishop who desires to make provision for requests of lay faithful of this kind, but is for various reasons prevented from doing so, may refer the matter to the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, which should give him advice and help. Article 9, this one's in 3 short paragraphs here. Paragraph 1. Likewise, a pastor may, all things duly considered, grant permission to use the older ritual in administering the sacraments of baptism, matrimony, penance, and anointing of the sick, as the good of souls may suggest. Ordinaries are granted the faculty to celebrate the sacrament of confirmation, using the former Roman pontifical, as the good of souls may suggest. In paragraph 3, it is lawful for clerics in holy orders to use even the Roman breviary promulgated by Blessed John the 23rd in 1962. Now we have Article 10. It is lawful for the local ordinary, if he judges it opportune, to erect a personal parish according to the norm of Canon 518 for celebrations according to the older form of the Roman rite, or appoint a rector or a chaplain with due observance of the requirements of law. Article 11. The Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, erected in 1988 by Pope John Paul II, continues to carry out its function. This commission is to have the form, duties, and norm for action that the Roman pontiff may wish to assign to it. And finally, Article 12. That same commission, in addition to the faculties it already enjoys, will exercise the authority of the Holy See by maintaining vigilance over the observance and application of these dispositions. Whatever is decreed by us by means of this motu proprio, we order to be firm and ratified to be observed as of 14th September this year, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, all things to the contrary notwithstanding. Given in Rome at St. Peter's on 7th July in the year of our Lord 2007, the third of our pontificate, Pope Benedict the 16th. And there you go. This chant you're hearing in the background, by the way, is the designated hymn of thanksgiving for the Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum. That hymn is the Te Deum Laudamus. Now, here's a translation of the Te Deum, and I'll leave a link in today's show notes. O God, we praise Thee, we acknowledge Thee to be the Lord. Everlasting Father, all the earth worships Thee. To Thee and all the angels, the heavens, and all the powers, all the cherubim and seraphim, unceasingly proclaim, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of Thy majesty, of Thy glory. The glorious choir of the apostles, the wonderful company of prophets, the white-robed army of martyrs praise Thee. Holy Church throughout the world doth acknowledge Thee, the Father of infinite majesty. Thy adorable, true, and only Son, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter. O Christ, Thou art the King of glory. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. Thou, having taken it upon Thyself to deliver man, did not disdain the Virgin's womb. Thou overcame the sting of death, and has opened to believers the kingdom of heaven. Thou sittest at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that Thou shalt come to be our judge. We beseech Thee, therefore, to help Thy servants, whom Thou hast redeemed with Thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with Thy saints in everlasting glory. Save Thy people, O Lord, and bless Thine inheritance. Govern them and raise them up forever. Every day we thank Thee and praise Thy name forever, yea, forever and ever. O Lord, deign to keep us from sin this day. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, for we have hoped in Thee. O Lord, in Thee I have hoped, let me never be put to shame. And now, in lieu of Podsafe music today, we're going to have a little sing-along. In today's show notes, you'll find the text of a very familiar hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. The text is a German paraphrase of the Te Deum, which of course is, like we had mentioned before, the designated hymn of thanksgiving for Summorum Pontificum. The English is a translation from the German. So, let us join now in singing the most popular of English hymns based on the Te Deum. Holy God, we praise Thy name. Oh, by the way, my apologies in advance for a couple of botch-ups on my free accompaniment on the third verse.
We'll be back.
Welcome to the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. www.ipadre.net.
And now, time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Brought to you by Milk of Magisterium, distributed by Latin Rite Aid. Today's episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the motu proprio edition. Just in case some liturgist finds it necessary to innovate some kind of hybrid liturgy containing certain elements of the 1962 Roman Missal with certain elements of the 1970 Roman Missal, we snarks over here found it necessary to innovate some ground rules on such a practice. And it basically goes like this.
The good.
Gregorian chant at a Novus Ordo Mass.
The bad.
Hootenanny music at a Novus Ordo Mass.
The ugly.
The inclusion of hootenanny music, liturgical dance, and clowns at a Tridentine Mass, with the excuse being that the musicians, dancers, and clowns now have to face Ad Orientem. Christus Vincit. Ego sum prianis Michaelis pagina, et hoc verbo ascripto. I'm Brian Michael Page, and I approve this message.
Hold for us a podcast alley, says the man with facial hair. Cast your vote for a new podcast, Christus Vincit anywhere. Use the link upon the sidebar. You can see it from your chair.
Yeah, those warm, fuzzy, gut-wrenching harmonies. But it does bring a point. Come on over to Podcast Alley and give us a vote. How do you get there? Well, it's easy. Our new improved website has a link to Podcast Alley on our main page and also has a link to Podcast Alley at the bottom of each of our episodes in the monthly archive pages. So come on over, Podcast Alley, once a month. Give us that nice little vote. Last month we really kicked butt, and I'm optimistic we can do the same this month. You can also leave some feedback on our message boards. There's a link to that on the main page as well at christusvincit.com. And you can also drop us a line at bpage69@yahoo.com. Or you can leave a review at iTunes as well. And while you're at it, folks, please don't forget our friends over at
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization. Bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the Weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bishoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Noe from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Loris, and welcome to Going For. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for Purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Also, don't forget to vote at the Blogger's Choice Awards. Christos Vincent the Blog, running in the Best Religion Blog category. Christos Vincent Anywhere is running in the Best Podcast category. Link will be in the show notes. Also, we'll have a link in the show notes to the 2007 Podcast Awards. Nominations are now underway. Please consider going there and nominating Christos Vincent Anywhere, as well as your other favorite Catholic podcasts, in the religion category. I want to thank you for joining me today. Tune in again next week for another hair-raising episode of Christos Vincent Anywhere or Christos Vincent TV. I can guarantee you to be one of them. Until then, I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Unos, dos, tres, cuatro.
Christos Vincent Anywhere is a member of Disciples with Microphones, the B Team, Ratzinger's Rottweilers, and oh yeah, the Christos Vincent Network.
Made on a crappy PC.